So I'm here with Dana Narvaisa, who has just been nominated for Global Teacher of the Year Award for 2016. I was just wondering if you could tell us how you heard about the nomination.
Yeah, I am alumni from Mission Possible, and they were just sending out information about different possibilities, and this was one of them. So I heard from them that there is this prize and that we can apply to get nominated. Yeah.
So how long ago was it that the nomination was sent in?
It's hard to tell because I've been applying for many different projects, and I think it was maybe September. It was just maybe 3 weeks left till deadline. Mm-hmm. So first of all, when I read the profile, when I read the stories from last year, I understood, okay, this is not for me, because last year there were 5,000 people who applied for the nomination from 129 countries all around the world, and I was like, okay, come on, that's not for me, and I would never get in top 50. So, but then several times I did read all the criteria, and we talked in the school, in the team, like, does it really sound that I could apply for it? And before I got other prize, TOIP, here in Latvia, so it was encouraging to maybe to try, because I felt like I am eligible for all the criteria. So yeah, so I applied. So the system is there can be a nomination also that, but usually people just anonymously nominate somebody, and all the work is done still by the person who applies. So there's a very large application form where you have to prove that you are really the best one, and of course there's a CV, and then you have to send a resume, then you have to send files with your results and what you do. So that was the system, and this year there were 8,000 applications, so even more than last year, and from 148 countries. And then there is it is very serious prize, because like in the first part there is one team that is evaluating all the applications, and from all over the world, and then there's this top 50, and then there will be next level top 10. Mm-hmm. And it's another committee that's gonna look for those top 10, and then in March we'll know the top one.
But I mean, already to be among the top 50 from 8,000 is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable still.
But when did you actually hear that you were in the top 50?
Well, some time ago.
Okay. So it's just the rest of us have found out today.
We needed to organize some materials, you know, that will go all around media. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it seems that the reaction on social media and so on today has been like incredibly positive. People are very, very proud of you, and also of, you know, the Latvian teachers in general. So.
Yeah. I do think those people who are proud about me, they do really know what I have done before, that I've been really involved in education already many years, and I really do not stay only in the classroom or in one organization. I go out and discuss and talk and try to do stuff. So I think just those people just like, okay, yeah, that's true. But I also read some negative comments, and maybe I somehow do agree with, like, I don't think that I'm the best teacher in Latvia, of course. There's so many other people who inspire also me. But actually, I did apply because even the TOIP prize that I got in Latvia, it allows to speak more and more loudly, and people start to hear you and contact you, and, you know, there's more possibility to change things. And this is one of the reasons, just, you know, to say loudly that in Latvia there are great teachers, and to discuss about education, what we can do, and show our example. And we still have to go a long way to be perfect in my school. But, you know, Yeah, that's why I applied. And always when I write or read, like in Latvian, it's like one of the best 50 teachers. Of course, it's like, okay. But okay, let's leave it like this. But that's not my feeling. I know many other good teachers in Latvia.
But I guess particularly at the moment, that's important because, you know, we have teachers striking. They yeah. have some very serious concerns about education funding, yeah. as well as just wages and the general sort of respect that's given yeah. to teachers these yeah. days. So do you think that your award might be useful in kind of raising the profile?
I hope. Other thing that we must understand that in criteria, it's not just a good teacher in the classroom. It was just one criteria out of six, if I'm correct. They were looking also for teachers who are going outside the classroom and sharing their experience and trying to inspire others to join the school's teaching profession and teachers who are trying to change things also outside the classroom. So. And I hope this will be inspiring. What I see is that when there is a strike and everybody goes, and there are so many teachers who are ready to go outside on streets, but actually there are so many other things that we can do during our work life. Like, for example, there are so many courses that teachers have to attend to be, yeah, just to be a teacher. And many, like many times or very often, they're not very high quality. But still teachers are going and they're sitting just to get the paper. Mm. And I think that's actually more important strike, what to do, you know, to go outside the classroom and say, come on, if you really want me to learn these things, organize it differently and speak about it. So I really hope that through this prize we can speak about what teachers can do more to improve their situation, to improve their name in society. Yeah.
And if we just turn to, we're speaking here at Jauneskola in Cēsis. Could you just tell us a little bit about it? I mean, what makes it different? How do you go about teaching here that maybe is not normal as far as the Latvian education system is concerned?
Yeah, first of all, we created this school not because there are not good schools around here, but because every change in school takes a long time. And our kids, they grow really fast, and every year is important. So instead of like whining and saying everything is bad or you know, just fighting all the time with existing schools, we understood that in Latvia there's possible to create your own school. So, you know, to try it ourselves if it's really possible to change things. So that is why we came together and it's with other parents and created a school. So this is one of the very important parts that parents are involved. But it's not like some people think that, you know, parents are involved. So they say, oh, I don't want this. And we, you know, change everything because one parent said something that he doesn't or she doesn't want to do here in the school. But parents are a very important part of the school. Also me. And I do think it's very important that I am parent also of my kid in the school, because if we see something and it's wrong, you know, the time until we fix it, it's really short. Because if I will change it after 5 years, my kid won't be in this group anymore. So this is a very important part. And what is different, we do work with four elements now, like together. Usually in schools, it's, you know, oh, there comes money, we'll renovate whole school, so you just put money in walls, but you somehow forget about teachers. We try to, you know, work together with four elements, and one is parents, especially now in primary school and in a kindergarten. Afterwards, it might change, but now parents are a very important part of a student's life. Doesn't matter what kind of parent it is. Dad can sit by TV all evening, I don't know, mom can do wherever. It's the real life. And we can talk about nice things in school, how you should live nicely and what you should do. But if parent at home doesn't do that or doesn't talk about these things, this is the real life. Mm. And in one point, a kid will say, oh, school is schooling, but the real life is this one. And that is why we try to, you know, connect family with school. And we do inform family about the activities we do in school. We suggest what they can do at home, that kids sees that this is not just, you know, school thing and teacher's thing, and this is my family. That small things, you know, are in both places. So this is one thing. We do educate our parents. We organize seminars, meetings. We give information. So parents, that's one element. It goes together with teachers. We do work a lot with teachers. We have meetings twice a week. One meeting where we learn new things ourselves, we establish like stronger team, and other meeting is always sharing our experiences, what you do good, what, how was this and how was that. So this is really important part, and it goes together with environment. And when I talk about environment, it's not about nice walls, new painted walls. It's more about it is homey, it is made for kids. If I see that this kid is all the time, you know, hitting the wall in one place, I should change something about it. And everything, if you go around, we have got from somewhere else here, and we will never, you know, paint walls to not allow kids to, you know, to touch it or to put their drawings. We'll try to make surroundings like it's for kids. It's, of course, it should be clean, neat, and everything, but it's more about kids and education process.
It's not that kind of institution feel.
Yeah. Because in Latvia there are very nice schools, very beautiful, especially, you know, these last years. And I have met so many parents that come as like, you know, the first impression. But when they stay for longer time, they know that actually, it's very nice. It's, you know, you feel like at home. And so this is about, and of course, the environment that is friendly for teachers to teach things, you know. And so parents, teachers, environment, and then there's this learning approach, teaching approach. So we do learn from Montessori, from Waldorf, from step by step, from, like, there are so many ways how to teach kids. And we all the time, like yesterday I had lessons, and the two girls, they really want to do worksheets, you know. Like, they really want to, you know, just sit and write, you know, crosswords and do the tasks. Fine, if that's motivates you to, you know, to learn. So we don't say no to classical things. We don't say no to any book or any worksheet. We do have like for every subject we have like 5 books, not one, that we use, and we look like which is a better task. So we just look what kids want, and that's why we are like new school. We'll never have, you know, one approach that is, you know, one folder that can be passed to next teacher. When you come, you do like this. There is of course some principles that we like follow everybody, just, you know, to teach discipline, but more like self-discipline for kids, to teach them how to, you know, communicate, to solve things, but there is no one guidebook, you know.
So the curriculum is fairly something you're creating as you're going along?
Yeah, but curriculum is Latvian curriculum that is held in every school. So we are very classical, we're not going to change anything, and actually it's very friendly. But the way we do things are, you know, you can... you can, like in music, you can learn do, re, mi just, you know, on the paper, you know, draw, there's do, there's re. You can also take piano and learn like this. And, you know, it's totally different way how you remember. Of course, it goes together with the small amount of kids we have here in every class. But this is, I don't see how you can do that in 30, like we're in classrooms where there are 30 kids.
So what exactly is the sort of the ratio that you have here?
Yeah, we do have 8 kids in class. It is also because of our rooms, because they're small. It was music school before, so today everybody's calling. But our goal is like this. We will start with small classes, small groups. We'll make a base that they can learn themselves, and then we'll make them bigger, classes bigger, you know. In Latvia it's differently. There are 30 kids in the first grade, and now we're fighting to open the 10th grade. You know, there should be 10 kids to open the 10th grade. So I see it should be differently. In high school, they already should be able to learn themselves. So, well, and that's why we open like class by class to see if really this works and how we should work further. Like, for example, now it's quite clear that in 4th grade, kids already are teenagers and they're not 13, mm-hmm. As it was like many years ago, and they really need to be taught different way. So, and that's good that we understand now, while we don't have 5th, 6th, 7th grade, so we already changing our way how we teach, because it should be different. So that is why we open class by class and change environment. Like before, we had like a regular system that there's one teacher, and you know, you teach most like math, Latvian, science, almost everything. Now we have divided them, and we have teachers in subjects. And in such a small school, they do like it, and they don't really need like one mom. Every kid is attached to some teacher. He has best relationship, and actually he gets the support. And we have like elementary school, you know, the class system. They go from the class to class, and yeah. It's a math class, and this is language class, this is music class, this is art class, so they change. And they learn, you know, to follow the plan, and teachers can go deeper in their subject. So it's easier in math to, you know, to see, oh, this girl is already, she's first grader, but this task I could give from the second grade. So it's easier to be more flexible.
And what sort of support or reaction or feedback have you had from the education ministry, for instance? Are they kind of interested in you as a test bed, or are they sort of keeping their distance, or what?
Yeah, this is we do communicate mostly about laws and rules. They do know about us. What is good is quite clear system. You need to be you need to get permission or accreditation, and then the money follows. That's clear, and this is what ministry does, and that's really good. Otherwise, we don't really, you know, cooperate in terms of quality of education. We more talk with local government. Yeah.
And what about plans for the future? Are you going to be opening more Jaunas skolas?
This is a good question. Try to understand how to do this, because what is obvious,
I guess if you win $1 million it would help, but
yeah, this is what I try to understand, because there is already experience in Latvia that when the leader goes, the system kind of, you know, fails. And I do want to understand how to create a school that I can like leave, not just because I want to leave, just I want that the system, school can work without me. And this is why actually I am looking for finances, you know, to spend more time in observing and understanding situation. Because in Latvia there have been so many great projects that we are trying to do here in school. But somehow when finances go, like the project ends, also the approach is ended, and I can't understand why it is. So I somehow want to spend time to observe things and understand like why this works or it doesn't work, or how I should, you know, talk about this or plan this, or how, what kind of system I should create that it stays when I leave. So because we have school in Riga, but we're in the process to separate and be separate schools, just because in one point, because they have a different situation in Riga with you know, also with environment or in building where they are, so they started to, you know, become different. not in the bad way, they have a very good education quality, but still our values start to be different, and that's why we, you know, now we are going to be separate schools. And this is my question, how to make franchise, or a good example is Montessori, but what I don't like, we have lost Montessori's idea. Like, we do have a lot of materials that is kind of based on it, but when you talk with there are many teachers who understand Maria Montessori, but there are many teachers who just take, you know,
the system.
But it was 100 years ago when she talked about her approach, and there was no internet available, computers for every kid. So of course she didn't talk about technologies. Creativeness wasn't really, you know, top one at that point. Of course she didn't talk about that, but it doesn't mean that she kind of against it, and we somehow don't really, you know, put this in, don't involve these things. So I don't really, you know, come to the situation when things are, you know, copy-paste, because after 100 years, who knows what will happen.
Well, congratulations again, I hope you do pick up the $1 million, because it looks like it would be well spent here.
Yeah. It definitely will be invested in my school in Latvia. That's the top aim. Why I applied, and there's this question: what would you be doing if you get this million? And my answer is that I would really be doing the same. So yeah.